Hi everyone, it's Kevin J, the best thing since the sun, and you're listening to the Therapy Suite right here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. This week, I speak to David Sanderson, co-founder of Community Camping and Healing. We talk about the benefits of camping and mental well-being. David, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Yeah, thank you. I'm feeling great. Thank you.
Excellent stuff. David, I think it would be great for you to tell us a little bit about yourself before you got into the camping and everything, and what you've been doing before.
Well, I tell you what. Before I got into any of this, I've been doing this for like 4 years. I was a builder myself. I had my own building company for nearly 20 years. So started off when I was young, and I had a good building company, and I'm from Birmingham. And I worked with a few guys, and we did all the usual domestic stuff. We did extension, kitchens, bathrooms, roofing, all sorts of stuff, refurbs. We did a whole lot of stuff. And that went really well. That was going on. Yeah, we were all doing really well. So that was brilliant. And then as we got towards the dreaded COVID, I'll tell you what happened. My father-in-law, he passed away. And he was an electrician, and he'd worked really hard his whole life, and he'd paid a lot of money into a private pension, thinking that one day when he retired, he was going to have a great retirement. He was going to have loads of money coming in, and he could go out there and do loads of stuff with his life, and he was buzzing for when he retired. But as he got closer to retirement, so we used to work together as well. Pat used to work with us, and the thing is, when that happened, that really shook me. I was like, that could be me. No, I could be that person that I could pass at any time. And then it got me really thinking, you know, I was thinking like, oh, do I want to carry on going in? Anyway, so at the time, me and the wife, we was on a path of buying houses and doing up a house. We'd buy a house, spend a few years putting an extension on it, doing it up, and we'd sell it and we'd buy another house. And we'd done a few in a row. And on the last one we was doing, I'd been doing it for about three years. And the one day I was on a scaffolding and I was coming through a window and I had a fall. Now, it wasn't a big fall. I missed my foot on the ladder and I had a fall into the bedroom and I popped my disc in my back. And that was not the first time I popped a disc in my back. But anyway, it was awful. It was absolutely terrible. I had sciatica, the whole works, and it went on for over a year. Agony, pain, and it was really bad. Anyway, so as I was getting through it and was getting towards the end of the build, I said to the missus, I said, you know what, I can't face another one of these. I just can't face it. Working on my own house all the time and having my own business, and it was just getting too much for me. So I said to her, you know what, let's just call it a day. Let's just do something else. Because what we was going to do is we was going to buy one more house after that one. We was going to do that one up. And then we were thinking, oh, you know, we'll move somewhere and dream up some new business. So that's what happened anyway. And then COVID all came and, you know, all at the same time. And it was just one of them. So eventually, yeah, we finished the house. And then we were like, right, that's what we're going to do then. So, so slowly started to close down the business. And we started looking for properties. And COVID arrived right then as well. And at the time I was looking at houses with land. That's what I wanted. I was thinking some kind of holiday let business. And I was looking in Devon, Cornwall, and I was looking in South Wales. That was the three places I was looking. And at the time, Devon and Cornwall, you could buy a property with land. And that was all good. But then when COVID came around, forget it. The prices went through the roof and there was just no way. Devon and Cornwall was out of the question. But South Wales was still viable. And over where we live now in South Wales, my auntie actually lives over this way. So we'd come over with the kids and we knew the area kind of well. We knew where it was and whatnot. And so we was looking over here and we looked at a few places. And I said to the missus, you know what? I really want a house and I don't want any neighbours. Because as a builder, whenever you've got a neighbour, you're going to have a problem. If you want to build something, there's all something going on. They're going to be like, no, I don't want you to do that. Oh, you've got the permission to do this and that. So I was like, right, no neighbor. So we started looking at houses with, on their own. And we looked at about, I don't know, 6 or 7 houses. And I'm not kidding. When I say on their own, they was on their own. Like, miles from anywhere. All right, so this didn't really faze me, but my mother-in-law was going to move with us. As I said, my father-in-law had died. And I think the last house we looked at before we changed our mind was, so we was going, you go down an A road and you turned off onto this tiny lane, and it was literally, it was in the Black Mountains it was, and it was just up, bend, curve, over a stream, up in the middle of nowhere. And from getting off that A road, it took us 45 minutes to get to this house, and it was nowhere. And we finally arrived, and it was absolutely chucking it down. And I pulled up, and I didn't even get out of the car. I looked at the missus and I said, I don't even want to look at this house. I said, I am not interested in looking at this house. I do not want to live in this house. So we got out, said hello, and then we just got back in the car, and we drove off. And that was when we said, right, I think we need a little compromise. Maybe we should have some neighbours. So gone back to the estate agent, and he was a great guy. And he was like, okay then, right, I've got some houses for you to look at. So I think it was like, I can't remember, it was after the weekend after. We come back again. And he still goes around to see these houses. And some of them we looked at online, you know, and you look at them online. And some you're like, oh yeah, and some of them's like, nah. Anyway, the one they brought us to, which we bought in the end, is one that we dismissed. He was like, no. We pulled up and I was like, sure, we've seen this house online. And the reason I dismissed it is because we had a neighbour, or they were detached. But there was a neighbour. Anyway, so we came, we looked about. We liked the house, we liked the land. We was unsure about the neighbour. And then we met the neighbour. Salt of the earth, lovely family, really nice. And I was like, you know what? I think we should just buy that house. So we didn't even look at any more houses after that. You couldn't even put an offer in at the time, as I recall, because houses were selling quickly. And, you know, the market was strong for houses, especially rural ones. So we put in the asking price and they accepted it. And I think the house has only been on the market, don't know, 12 days or something silly. And they'd sold their house. And looking back, the house that I had to sell in Birmingham, I'd had on the market for months. And as soon as I put it on the market, someone gave me an offer, which was under the value of what I wanted. And I was like, no. And sillily, I wish I'd accepted that offer, because then I waited, can't remember, 6-8 months to sell the house. And I sold it for less than that offer they gave me in the first place, because we had to sell the house. We had to move. I closed my business at that point. So I didn't have any work coming in. You know, I wasn't making any money. We just had to go. So anyway, and it all panned out eventually. And so, yes, we ended up, so we live on a mountain in the countryside in Wales. And far from whatever I ever would have thought was going to be, you know, as a boy coming from Birmingham, you know, the second biggest city, to living on a mountain in a rural place in Wales, I never really thought about that. But yeah, it's been all right, actually. Yeah, it's nice. We do actually have more than one neighbour on the top of the mountain. We've got 7 neighbours. And it's quite nice, actually, because you know what? I met all of them, and they're all really nice people.
I think it's fantastic. I think it's brilliant what you've done. You kind of just up and went. And basically, now you do something so great with the land. You do community camping and healing. What first inspired you to connect camping and outdoor life with mental health supporting for men?
Well, I'd like to say it was all my idea, because, you know, full of great ideas. But it was actually the wife. But the thing is, strangely, where we live, because we live on a mountain, but the mountain's actually full of quartz. There's a lot of quartz in the mountain. And so when you're actually here, there's such an amazing feeling from that. And I think when the more time you spend here, like especially outdoors, the more you really start to connect with the land. I'd spend a lot of time outdoors. I'm always outdoors building something or doing some kind of maintenance. And And then we just started to think, oh, wouldn't it be great if we could share it with people? And not only is it, you know, it's not only done us the world of good, we've changed people, but would be great if we could bring other people here and then we could share it with them and we could help them as well. And that's been a right success. So that's been brilliant, to be fair.
I think it's fantastic. Why do you think men in particular benefit from spending time in nature compared to more traditional indoor well-being spaces?
You know what it is? I think it's like a caveman thing. Men love being outside. We love fire. You know, and if you only think back, not even that far ago, we was out hunting. We had bow and arrow. We had javelins. We was out killing things. And I think just men, it's just programmed in us, really. We love to be outdoors. And I think, and also, you know, with some kinds of people, like, get them anywhere, you can't get a word out of them. Won't say nothing. You get them outdoors and give them an activity, something to do with their hands, and all of a sudden, they open up and they want to share. And I think that's a brilliant thing I do. That's great.
Absolutely. I'm always saying to my friends, like, you know, we're born to kind of really be outside. We're not really meant to be indoors and have all these luxuries of having a roof over our heads and, you know, the heat. And we're kind of, it's probably our DNA, isn't it, to kind of be outside. So, and I love if I can get a chance, whenever I get a chance, just to go out and just have that sunlight and just the greenery. You know, you must get that kind of feedback from the people you talk to as well. So you must get that kind of feedback.
Yeah, we do. We always get great feedback from people.
Must be great.
We do, yeah. Well, I think just being out and about on the land is such a healing thing as well. Did you know, also, when you're surrounded by green, like being outside in the country, like all the plants are green. Grass is green, the trees are green, everything's all got green colours in them. And that green colour in the trees and all the grasses, it actually releases like a chemical. It releases into the air. And when you're part of that, you absorb it. I don't know if you can smell it. It's like a pheromone, I think. And then it's like a happy drug, makes you happy. I noticed it more and more when I was spending time here, because I'd be outside and I'd be happy. But for instance, if I jumped in a car and I popped into town, all of a sudden, I'm surrounded by bricks and concrete and more roads, and all of a sudden my happy levels go from up here to they just really start to sink down. And I'm like, ooh. First of all, when I first noticed it, I thought it was me. I thought I'm being a bit weird here. But I talked to some people about it, and then it just came about, and I was like, oh my God, it is really a thing.
I never heard of that. I never heard that the greenery is releasing some kind of chemical.
Yeah, I think it's like a hormone. There is actually a name for it, but I can't remember what it is. Oh. But yeah, so as you're surrounded, especially on my land, because I'm kind of hemmed in. There's trees all around. There's a lot of meadows in the middle. So, and when I'm there, I'm just like surrounded. So all I can really see is like greenery, and I look up and it's big sky because I'm obviously up on the mountain. And yeah, it's quite amazing, to be fair. It is amazing.
That's fantastic. We're just going to a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So thank you, David, for talking to us a bit about the community camping and healing. Do you find that being outside, walking, sitting around a fire, or simply camping makes it easier for men to open up about their struggles?
I think so. And I've got a word for when we do certain things like this, and I call it rewire around the fire. So if you get a group of men just outside, normally, yeah, could be walking, could be sitting, but we like to get around the fire. Doesn't need to be cold, just get a fire on, really. And I think then men want to open up. Now, I've had experiences when guys, they don't want to open up. I mean, some people are just shut door. They're not going to talk about nothing. But I would normally try to lead forward in that situation. And I might reveal a weakness in myself or some mental health situation where I struggle. And then normally I put it around the group, see what guys, how they are. And I think in that situation, men do tend to open up a lot more. Yeah.
Does everyone gets into, you must have seen it, do people start talking to each other and, you know, just being outside, they find things in common. And then I'm sure you get groups of men actually just going off and just kind of talking about, you know, what they're going through and that kind of thing.
Absolutely. And not only do we do, when we do rewiring around the fire, we'll go for walks and you'll find, you know, just naturally as you're walking, guys will group off in twos and threes, they'll find conversation. And I really like that then, because they get to talk and then they'll swap around in the little groups. And I think that's a great thing, because then they start to open up with each other. And it's not something you could, I think it's easier, especially because you're outdoors. If you was in an indoor situation, you might feel a bit more less inclined to be sharing. But because you're outdoor, you just get that sharing vibe going on, which I think is just, it's a lot better, to be fair.
What are some of the struggles or challenges that men talk about, the common themes that you find when everyone's just having a chat around the fire or whatever it might be?
God, so many different things. But I tell you what, top couple of things blokes always stress about is generally their relationships with their partners. Money. Oh, their children. And I think that, yeah, they're not huge things. Generally, they're not. But I think just being able to share with a group of guys who are non-judgmental, it's just great. They can get a, you can just get a load off your mind then. And I think sometimes that can be just small things, and it's small things that stress you out as a man. And yeah, it's just nice to get them off your mind sometimes. Get them out of your mind. I think when we're at our happiest, we have got a clear mind. When you've got a clear mind, you are your happiest. Yeah, but I think sometimes trying to achieve a clear mind is very difficult.
Absolutely. Do you find that the men develop good relations with each other and stay in contact even after the camping?
Yeah, you know what? Because we've got a Facebook group. So whenever people come, we get them to join the group as well. And then even better, often after we've had an event on, they'll keep in touch and people get together and they go and do their own little things together. They might go off in camper vans, or they might go and do camping adventures together. Some go to, some of the guys who are similar to my age, who were too old to go out to nightclubs anymore. It's just not going to happen. They go to those, what are they called? Have you ever seen them on? They're like a day rave. You get them in the big city sometimes. They haven't started like a daytime rave. They start at like 12 o'clock in the lunchtime and they finish at like 5 p.m.
Yeah.
And some of them go to these together. They don't drink, don't do anything naughty. They just go, have a laugh and have a dance, and then they just go home. It's brilliant. I love it.
That's brilliant. And have you yourself formed relations with people that come to the campsite as well?
So many. I was living where I live, in a bit more of a rural situation. So a lot of the people that come, they might come from far away, so they're not local. But we still keep in touch. Like I said, we've got a Facebook group, and, you know, we'll message each other. And I like to do, once we've had a camp, I normally get a little WhatsApp group going on. And then we'll talk to each other about things, and that's great. And I do love it when they come back as well. We can have a catch-up and see how people are getting on. And people really do learn a lot of things, and I think then they can take these new skills that they've learned and take them out into their own lives. And I love to see when they can make a change in their own lives, whether it's just small things or bigger things.
Absolutely. I'm guessing some of the feedback must be great, like how people have enjoyed it. And what do you find people get the most out of it from the feedback?
You know, some people, they've never... some people have never spent much, if any, time in the countryside. Some people live in the city and they're diehard city guys. You know, they never leave the city. They don't go to the country. And so some that do come, the things that I do hear back is how they feel that they can express themselves more, how they feel, that they feel changed in themselves. And they'll go back for, they'll go back into this, their city life, but then they'll make small changes, like they'll go to the park, they'll go to the woods, they'll do things to get away from the city. And no, so, and sometimes you know, if you live in the city, you've got to live there, and you might have work and you've got family commitments and whatnot. But I do love to hear how they can make small changes in their life just to make them happier people. But I think, you know what? I think trying to make yourself happy in life is difficult. You know, we're not all Buddhist monks and living some happy life. You know, we've got a lot of stresses going on. But trying to make yourself happy is a difficult thing in life, but we've all got to try to do it, haven't we?
Absolutely. Totally agree. What are some of the biggest barriers men face when it comes to talking about mental health? And how does the camping experience help overcome them?
I think it's the stigmas, you know, for men. For myself, when I was growing up as a young man, the generations before me, they was the hardcore generations. They were the generations of men who, if they seen you having a cry or a moan, they'd be like, oh, pull your socks up, sunshine. Sort yourself out. And they had no, you know, if they didn't want anything mental health back then, was just a no, was a no-go. And I think that was difficult for guys. But at some point along the line, I don't remember, one of the princes, he'd done some big mental health drive, as I recall, years back. And after that, it seemed to be a thing then. All of a sudden, we could start talking about our mental health. And I think since that happened, I can't even remember when it was. Must be like 20 years ago. Now it's okay for us to talk about mental health issues, or if we're upset, or, you know, if we've got a problem, that's okay. Whereas before, you had to just man up. That was it. Like, oh, just man up. And you'd have to just struggle through these things, which, yeah, it's doable. But we all know you're pushing them feelings down. These blokes who have done that, done it all themselves, and then what's happened later on, well, it's all come out, they've had a mental breakdown, or they've had a heart attack, or worse, and I personally know people that's happened to, and it's just, and then you say to yourself, you say to your friends, oh, if he'd only just reached out to me, oh, I could have helped him, oh, I would have, and then you feel guilty, you feel really guilty, and that is the worst thing that can happen. So, we can talk about our mental health, and I think that's a good thing.
Absolutely. And I do see what you're saying. We've had that male stereotype, isn't it, where we've got to stay strong, we've got to keep going, you know, we can't say we can't do something, we need to be able to do it. And that's kind of, it's kind of putting us in that position where we might, some people might find it uncomfortable to talk about, you know, what they might be going through or some of the challenges they might be facing and that kind of thing.
I agree. I agree with you. And that makes it really difficult then. And, you know, we don't want to be living a difficult life. The simpler your life is, the more happy you're going to be. But a lot of people just get right there. It's always around influences, isn't it? The influence of the people that are around you. And if you haven't got the influence of being able to share or to talk to people about it, I think that's a real difficult situation to be in. So if we can help as many people as we can, I mean, for my own personal thing, if I can help just a handful of people every year, I really feel good about myself. And I know that just moving forward, the same people will help somebody else. And I think if we can all just help somebody in our life, I think then we've managed to do something.
Absolutely. Can you share a story or an example of how being out in nature has transformed someone's mental health journey?
I can, right? I got a friend. I'll call him a friend. He's a friend now. So it was a guy, his name's Dan, and he came to one of our events 2-3 years ago. He came. And to be fair, I didn't see much at the event, but he was at the event. He was having a good old good time. He was having a right drink, he was. And as we got towards the end of the event, we spent a bit more time together. And anyway, he left the event, and off he went, and he was from Essex, that's where he was from. And he'd had literally an awakening at the event. He left, he went home, he packed his car with his belongings, he split up with his abusive partner, and some of the stories I heard. And he went on, and I'm not joking, he went on a two-year travelling adventure around the UK, and his number one thing was that he said he wasn't going to do, he wasn't going to stay, he wasn't going to sleep in a house. This is an amazing story. He slept in crazy places. He slept in caves. He slept under bridges. He slept in the maddest places. He got rid of his car and he got a bike with saddlebags on, which he kept his stuff in. And he got a big speaker and he travelled around the cities. He was going all around the city, loads of different cities. And he'd get into a city and get his speaker out. And he would start talking to people about this mad stuff. Anyway, moving on. And that's how he supported himself as well. So anyway, 2 years he went on, he'd done this. And he ended up, now he's living in, he lives in Scotland. The craziest place to be. And so now he's settled down. He lives in a home again. And but he's had such an amazing time. He met so many people. He's really grown in himself spiritually. And he, as I said, he came coming from an abusive relationship that he was in. So I really feel that we made a connection, and I've seen him several times since. And he's a beautiful guy. And he recently got a dog called Max. So he's got a companion. But he had such a great time traveling around the country. And I was really jealous to watch him. Just being so free, you know, he had a bicycle and his stuff was in his bags and he would just go somewhere and he got a tent in the end and he just stay in his tent and he just met so many people going around the country. And I was like, wow, I mean, how freeing was that? Before he started his adventure, he'd worked as a chef under some Marco Pierre White, believe it or not.
Gosh, really?
I know, right? So he was like a top chef. Just things that happen to people, you know. You just have a realisation in life sometimes that you're like, I don't want this anymore. And not everyone can do it, can they? You can't just be like, right, done with this, and I'm going to move on. But that's what he did. And I'm great. I'm really happy to say that he's a good friend of mine now. I don't think many people could pull that off, really. But just the way he went about it was like, this is what I'm going to do. And he just did it. So it's brilliant. There's a lot of restrictions, especially for men in life, because we always feel like with the providers, especially in a family environment, oh, I've got to provide for my family. And I've got to, you know, and even if you look back in time, I've got to go out and I've got to get the meat and I've got to get the food and I've got to do this and that. And of course, there's a certain amount of that still remains for most men. But, and it's hard to change the stereotypes of life, I think, sometimes. But that's what I said, he managed to do it. And I'm really proud of him, actually, because that's a great thing to be able to do.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're just going to a quick ad break, and we'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
So, David, community is central to your work. Why is it so important for men to connect with others rather than try to go at it alone?
Well, I mean, I think as men, we've got a pack nature. We want to be in a pack of people. And it makes it difficult. It's always difficult to do things on your own. If you've got lots of people to help, it makes it much easier. And that makes it a bit more... It makes it more satisfying when you can connect with people. But being on your own, I think, especially for men, we can end up then just stressing ourselves out. And there's a little thing I'd like to talk. You know, if you stay in your house, for instance, for too long, there's a thing and it's called mental rumination. It's called, right? It's when you stay in your house for too long, and I'm not mean like hours or weeks. It could just be days, but the more time you spend in your house, the more your brain doesn't want you to go outside, and then you end up with some crazy mental health situation going on, but your brain just keeps talking to you. But it's actually, yeah, scientifically, it's called mental rumination. So it's the same kind of situation for men. We don't want to be on our own too much. We want to get out. We want to be with other men, especially if you spend, you know, if you spend too much time with women, for instance. Women are great, but men really need to contact with other men. And that's just where we are, isn't it?
No, that's fair. That's fair. Community, how do your programs balance the healing power of nature with structured support or guidance?
Oh, good one. We balance the healing power of nature with structured support by creating workshops based in nature, like making walking sticks in the woods or crafting stuff. That's where we, you know, using sharp knives, that's always good. And blokes love axes. Who doesn't love an axe? And then we mix that in, obviously, with, you know, meditating in a wildflower meadow, stuff like that. And then we want to work together with guidance, guiding people, so that when they leave us, they can try to put that into their everyday life. Yeah, that's where they are. Dogs here. Get out of here. Go on.
Workshops wise, can you tell us a little bit about the workshops a bit more?
We do so many different workshops at our events. We do inner child healing workshops. We do crafting workshops as well. There's a lot of crafting going on because people love crafting. We do a great inner dance one. But have you ever heard of inner dance?
No.
Well, so you think it's to do with dancing because it's got the word dance.
Yeah, I actually did think that originally, but I've never heard of it, so I thought, you know.
Actually, you just like, it's like a led journey with music. So it's all like pieced together in a long piece. And it's quite amazing, actually. It takes you to another realm, I would imagine, of kind of thing. We also do like self-help ones. There's a womb healing. And yeah, we do all sorts of stuff just for men as well. We do axe throwing, crafting with knives and survival techniques. Obviously, we're going to do all that. Lighting fires, one of my personal favorites. I love lighting a fire. and then we'll do stuff in the woods as well, whether it's making swings for the kids or just all kinds of stuff like that. It's always great.
No, that sounds brilliant. Sounds absolutely brilliant. Do you see camping and outdoor experiences as complementary to more traditional approaches like therapy or as a standalone pathway to healing?
I think there's a good mix. You can do a good mix of both, to be fair. But for me personally, I really enjoy spending more time outside. I think Mother Earth has all the answers that we require, really. And just by spending time in quiet contemplation with nature, I think generally you'll find most of the answers to the questions you do have. And I think that's a great healer.
Absolutely, yeah. No, totally. No, and it sounds it too, you know. What simple steps would you recommend to men listening who want to use nature to improve their mental well-being, even if they can't access organised retreats?
You know what, I think just from a basics, I'd done this myself years ago when I lived in a city, just a few simple things, taking a walk, just being outside and walking can such an amazing thing to do. and then getting to and maybe even going to a park, finding some grassed area, going into the woods, and grounding yourself, which is so easy to do. Just find yourself some grass, take off your socks, and get your feet on the grass. And just being in contact with the earth is such a grounding experience. And when I first started doing this myself years ago, I couldn't believe the difference of how I felt. I didn't think I was going to feel anything at all. But once I did it just the first time, I was like, wow, I'd never realised there was such magic in putting my feet on the grass. Because that was not something I'd probably ever done since I was a child, really. And these just simple little things that you can do, doesn't matter where you are, you can just go out and be outside. And I think just being outside is just really good, positive mentally.
Absolutely. Is there like a frequency or something they talk about when your foot is on the earth? Or I don't know, what you might not have heard of this, I'm not sure, but they talk about frequencies and that your body's in, is something to do with frequencies and your body and in line because your foot is on the earth. And so it generally just helps mental well-being. It's things I've heard about. I don't know too much about. I was just wondering if you've heard anything like that before.
I don't know if there's a frequency, but I do think that once you get contact with the earth, I think you just sink together. And so maybe it is to do with frequencies, because I think your frequencies probably come together, and that's where the grounding becomes a thing, which is amazing. I think it's right up there with tree hugging, really. Most people think that tree hugging is just crazy, and I certainly used to think that tree hugging was crazy until I hugged a couple of trees, and then I was just like, what's going on? This is completely crazy. I've got some really old oak trees here, and let's backtrack a little bit. The original part of my house where I live now is like 300 year old, which is like 1720s when it was built. And the first people that lived where I am, there's an ancient track that runs through the land, and it's lined with oak trees, which they must have planted, because they're all pretty much like in the 300 year old range. They're big, beautiful oak trees. And I've hugged a few of these trees, and just amazing vibes that come from them. Just amazing. And we came to the realization that some of the trees was female and some of the trees was male, from the different energies that they give off. And such an amazing thing. Anyway, that digressing on hugging trees, but it's actually really a thing. That is crazy.
Sounds great.
Trees, what?
Looking ahead, what's your vision for community camping and healing, and how do you see it contributing to the wider conversation around men's mental health?
I do think that we're making a positive impact with mental health, especially with men. And moving forward, I think we will be able to help even more people, which is what we're trying to do. We do try to get people to come help us. And we often get men that have been to some of our events, and they will come back and they will help us run another event. And with that, we get to, what's the word I'm looking for? We double down on mental health, should I say. The more people that we have who have been through with us, is the more people that we can help, really. Because the more people that come back to help us means that we can help more people moving forward. So I think that's a good thing, actually. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Absolutely. Totally. If people want to touch base with yourselves or find out more about community gatherings or attend one of your, community camping and healing sessions, where can people find you?
I think we've got a website, which is along those lines, community something.
Oh, that's it, communitygatherings.uk around
that. Yeah, and we've got a Facebook group. You can find us on there. Or you can always just Google my wife's name, Catherine Sanderson, and follow all those links back, because she's all over the internet.
Fantastic, fantastic. David, thank you very much for your time today. Much appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. I've really enjoyed it.
And thank you to our listeners. You know you can find me on Instagram at GavinJ417. Until next time, take care.